Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
You're listening to Fiber Talk, the Wednesday edition of the twice-weekly podcast for the needlework artists.
I'm glad we're being artists today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think I'm feeling very, that.
Arty.
Arty, yeah. Arty. Yeah, whatever that is. I don't know. Let's see. The big announcement. And you'll be seeing this quite a bit between now and August 5th, is that on the 5th, August 5 at 8 o'clock, our regular Wednesday night live show, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, August 5th, April McNee of the Embroiderers Guild Galleries in New South Wales is going to give us a live tour of their new exhibit, Remembering Ricamo, an exhibition of Italian needlework. And that starts August 1. And so we're going to get a live tour of the exhibition. And, of course, April curated that, so she knows all the history. And then she's trying to get someone who knows the techniques behind the needlework to join her and explain that. So it'll be an ability to see an exhibit that, unless you're in Australia, would take a lot of time and a lot of money to go see. And on top of it, be able to ask questions, hopefully from both people. So you'll be able to learn about the history behind these pieces and then ask some questions about the techniques. So pretty excited about that. That's a new venture for us. April was kind enough, and it was 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I think, that I did a show with April. And then we talked afterwards about the possibility of this, and she's kind enough to do it. So that's going to be pretty neat to be able to see an exhibit like that, in Italian needlework, I don't know how often that kind of stuff is exhibited. Probably not very often.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
The interest, I'm really curious about that. That's, I can't wait for that show.
Yeah, it's very different. Just the techniques are very different. I'm sure it's all, it all is connected in some way to every other technique, but they get some very different looks out of it. So
yeah, I'll be looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. So that's August 5th, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. It'll be on the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. It'll be our regular Wednesday night live show. It's just that we will devote the entire show to a tour of this exhibit and get to ask questions and learn things. So it'll be good. August 9, we are starting Dawn to Dusk by Karen Dudzinski, Textured Treasures. And Karen will be joining us on the 9th. So that'll be 2 o'clock Eastern Time, August 9, on the YouTube channel, the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. So Karen Dudzinski will join us, and then she'll be able to offer some tips and tricks, and we'll get a little insight into what's behind that design, Dawn to Dusk. So looking forward to that. And so mark that on your calendar, too. If you're doing Dawn to Dusk, definitely. And if you're not, as with this past Sunday with Debbie Raleigh, join us. You'll probably learn something. Probably pick up a something. Yeah. So that's good. Let's see. Sunday is, this is a fascinating show. The Angel Quilt Project. James Farmer is the guest, and he operates, runs, organizes, whatever you want to call it, the Angel Quilt Project. And that is a project that, cross stitchers stitch little motifs, little figures, kid-oriented figures of all kinds, and then send them to James, and then he puts them together and then has a group of quilters who make blankets, quilts, out of these. So they incorporate the cross-stitch into the quilt, and then these quilts are given to parents, to hospitals all over the world to give to preemie babies, premature babies.
Oh, and, how nice.
Yeah. And the quilts are, is it 36 by 36? Because what they're designed to be big enough to line those plastic tubs that they put the babies in, and the NICU units and that the preemie mm-hmm. babies to line that tub. And then he tells the story how that got started and how they keep it going. He has a Facebook group, and anybody can join and contribute to the cause by stitching And there's no deadlines. It's not like you got to do 20 in a month or something like that. You just do what you can and send them to him. And then he makes up blankets, and he has a whole list of hospitals all over the world who let him know we need some more, or if he's not hearing from anyone, he'll contact some new hospitals. And it's just one of the really cool efforts in the needlework industry that, I mean, I'd never heard of it. And a listener put me onto it and had a great conversation with him. And that's what he does. He's retired, and it's what he does. And he stitches too. So he's always stitching for these blankets too. But it's his way of giving back, and it's terrific.
Great outreach.
Yes, yes. No, it's a good program. So that's going to be Sunday, James Farmer. Yep. Then Wednesday, Beth and I are just going to stitch and talk Wednesday night. And Friday night, Melanie Smith is going to join us. She'll be the guest Friday night. She is a weaver, and I think she spins. She spins, she weaves, she stitches, she knits. So she's boring.
Says everything.
Yeah. So we get to learn about that too. Yep. That's all we got. What I'm fun. Bored. That's it.
That's it?
That's it. That's all we got.
That's it.
That's all we got coming up.
Well, I'm hoping on Wednesday night that I can get my double fan double in. We'll see. Okay. It's been a long time since I've done one of those.
That show was fun Sunday. And several people said it really helped them a lot. And of course, I'm sure many people went back and looked again, helped them get that going. So it was.
Well, when I've done my double fan double, I didn't know you should stick a pin in the needle in the middle. I've always kind of held it with my finger or kind of carefully laid it and then just kind of tightened as I went. Just the pin in the middle or toothpick in the middle I'm just excited to try that. Cause
yeah, well, and you can do it. You can do it, without a pin in the middle, but I don't like doing it that way because I don't feel like I can control the tension and I don't feel like I can get it as tight as I'd like it. So if you have a post in the middle, then you have something to work off. And as you develop the stitch, eventually you don't need that post because you get enough body in there that you don't need it. But I like having it there. You know, and some people, I'm sure purists view it as a crutch. I don't care. I think it gives a better stitch and the double fan double looks better because it's tighter.
And if you've ever done that stitch without putting the post in, you do have to fiddle with that first stitch to get it laying where you want it. And then you're putting in your second one, it moves a little bit, so you're fiddling with it. So I think having that in there, I think that's going to make a huge difference in starting that stitch.
Yep. So yeah, and it's those first, really it's the first two stitches, but for me it's the first four or five that you go around that center. But getting those first two to sit dead center and on top of each other is a lot of fiddling, and all that fiddling just goes away with something in there. Yeah. The tip that Kim gave, and that I guess she got it off of a Fiber Talk show, and I really wish I knew the name of the lady because I want to give her a great big hug, was to use an earring.
Yes.
An earring post. Now, I did that. I went and got one of Marga's earrings because I've always used a needle or a toothpick. Mm-hmm. And I went and got one of Marga's earrings. That raised it for me another level because now you have a post that stays where it's supposed to stay, but it's small. So I could get the tension the way I wanted it all the way around. And that post stayed in. I didn't take it out till maybe the last three or four go rounds before I took it out. I put it in upside down. So the earring was underneath, because I didn't want that big. It was, I forget what it was. I just grabbed one of Marga's earrings. But yeah, upside down. But now I feel like
did
I need
to. Did
she know? To, yeah, she did. Because I had to ask where they were. I had no idea where they were. I don't pay attention. I don't care.
But, under unimportant. Filed under unimportant.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't even. She has her own dresser. I don't even know what drawer it was in until what's in the top drawer over here? Okay, fine, I'll find it. So, but yeah, that's upside down worked for me. What's that?
Thanks, dear, is what you say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did I put it back? Ooh. Oh, I have to look. I don't think I put it back.
You better put it back, because there's nothing worse than missing an earring. You know, you're like, now where did that go?
Oops. When we get done here, I need to run downstairs and make sure I put it back. But it's one of those where when I got done, I thought, you know, I think I'm going to go to wherever you get earrings and just get a pair of cheap, like post earrings. When you pierce your ears, it's just a simple post, right?
Right, right.
Just, you know.
And dollar store, estate sales, garage sales. You don't need anything special. You just need one set of something.
I didn't even think about that. There'll be garage sales this weekend all over the place. I'll just go hit one of those.
Yeah, you might get a weird look.
Well, yeah, whatever. Won't be the first time. Not by a long shot. But that's an excellent tip. That worked really well. It stays there because you put the little clip on, and it stayed there, and it's small. So I felt like I could, like I said, I could wrap the threads around it, and I was getting a nice tight center to it. And I was really, really happy with it. It really worked out. It was just a brilliant idea. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'll have to try that.
Yeah, highly recommend it. Yep. Now it's really bothering me. I don't think I put that earring back. I'll find it.
Now I gotta find it.
Yeah, because on my table, and I've already done a couple of other things, so threads have been moved around, and I better go find that thing. Oops. Yeah.
So I noticed I was looking on Instagram, and Jessica Graham is stuck on Royal Garden. I didn't ask her what she was stuck on. My guess is she might be on a Walnutto, but I don't know for sure.
Well, I'm glad something slowed her down.
I know. She's going to be done, and I'm not going to even have my center in.
Man, she's doing it like it's a little ornament or something. It's like crazy. Jessica Graham, if you want to see somebody who's flying along with this thing, go see Jessica Graham. Brilliant job. So you think she's stuck on the Walnutto, huh? Well, she'll figure it out.
She didn't say what stitch she was stuck on. She said she was stuck on a stitch. So,
oh,
I haven't had time to go back. I just saw the note and I thought, I should ask her where she's stuck.
Well, I know she was having trouble because during the show, there's a woven stitch that goes under like a Jessica or something like that that fills in the middle. And I don't think it's a Jessica, but there's a woven stitch, and she wasn't having any luck with it. And Debbie in the show suggested she try something else. And she tried, whatever she did was brilliant, because I think it upped the game. I forget what stitch she did, but she did her newsletter in her weekly blog Monday. She used a different stitch, and so it gives a very nice woven look as a background for that surrounding stitch. And I thought she nailed it, and I'm definitely stealing that from her. But she was having trouble, because I know she was having trouble with, it was some woven stitch, and she's so far along into the book that I can't even, you know, I haven't even looked that far. But she couldn't get it to look good. It was just looking messy. And she showed a picture of it, and it did look messy, and then she showed what she changed it to, and it was like bingo. You know, excellent, well played. So,
right,
yeah.
But, and I know during the live show, Debbie said that the reason you put that the woven underneath is to give the canvas a little different color there, and which made me stop and go look at my booklet. And I was like, what is she talking about? And I realized, oh, those shiny areas. There's a lot more. There's open canvas. I haven't really looked through to the master or anything. I'm just concentrating on getting that center in. But the So I was like, oh, that is great that that's how she achieved that effect where you've got, it looks like it looks so different in the center of those, very shiny. I'm curious. It'll be fun to get to that point.
Yeah, there's all kinds of fun little discoveries we get to make in this thing, which is what I think is great about it. But I'm stealing Jessica's idea because she really, I thought she got a real good look. It's an excellent look for that particular area. So, yeah, this, yeah, and now last night, we're recording Tuesday. So last night, I did the wove the krynek into the Scotch stitch square around the double fan doubled. That wasn't too tedious. Oh, jeez.
I was doing mine, and I thought I had laid all my Scotch stitches so carefully, and then I went and was weaving, and I
I
was
know.
like, this is messing it up.
Yep.
And then I went and looked at the pattern, and I thought, if I were teaching this to my guild, I would mention that the only place you're going to see this is like in the center of each little square. It's going to be covered by all the crescents. And it's very little sparkle. It does add interest. It does add interest, but it could be left out just as easily. I don't think it would hurt the design.
I know. I got done. I said, I just went through all of that and you're barely going to see it.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But I like it. I see, and I wasn't going to put it in. Because I looked and I thought, oh, I've got my Scotch stitches so pretty. And I thought, but I like sparkle. So. And I actually like pink, so it was like, I'm going to put it in. And then I started putting it in. I thought, this was probably not the most, well, we'll just keep it in. It's in. It's in. There it is. Done.
Yeah, if people haven't done that one, I went to a smaller needle. I think I went to a 26 and forced the krynek through the hole to make it easier to weave it in that small Scotch stitch. And then I think Debbie suggested work from the ends of the Scotch stitch to find to get in there, but still it's
So
tedious.
you're so, so you keep your groupings together. It's much easier that way.
Still tedious, but it's done. Can't say I didn't do all the pieces. So, and if you're interested in doing the Royal Garden, we're just getting started. You can go to call Kim at Sassy Jack's. She's got kits. She'll fix you up. It's going to be a fun one, and we did that live show. We'll have other videos as we go along, and and of course, as we said at the end of the show, Debbie's email is on the chart. You can write to her, ask us questions. We'll bring them up on shows, whatever. But
Right.
yeah, you won't get hung out to dry, guaranteed. So, yep. Speaking
Yeah,
of the
it's
Sassy
going to be fun.
Jacks, the registration for the September soiree that's all online now, that is reopened. So you can sign up for that. So go sign up for that. Yes.
And I was lurking. I lurked until she posted it. And then when she posted, I signed up. I didn't think she would run out of spaces, but I thought for the price, it's definitely worth it. She's going to give a nice swag bag. I don't know. For me, sometimes being able to be online all weekend, it doesn't always work. But for what she's sending you as gifts for signing up for the retreat, I think will be tons of fun. It'll be fun stuff to get. And
Yeah, she has just a truckload of things planned. So that's going to be a good time. And Fiber Talk will be involved somehow. We haven't nailed down the specifics, but somehow we'll be involved. So yeah, we'll figure it out. But yeah, check that out, sassyjackstitchery.com, and sign up for that because I don't think there's. I said this before, and I didn't check again, but I'm pretty sure there's really no limit because it's online. So sign up.
Sign up. And yeah, she's going to have different Zoom rooms. I think it's going to be fun. I mean, it's if you've never been to a retreat, this is a great way to take a step in and doing that. You can do it from your own home. You don't have to even go anywhere and spend the night in a strange bed. You get to sleep in your own bed at night. Only problem is no pajama parties until 2 o'clock in the morning. But
Oh, okay.
oh well.
Well, I wouldn't miss out on that. I wouldn't be involved in that anyway. So, yeah.
Well, you haven't been to a guild retreat. Sometimes people stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and never go to bed.
Yeah, no, pass. Pass.
Pass?
Pass. No. No, I lose interest at some point. I'm out.
Yeah. You need to go to sleep then, huh?
Well, if I could sleep, it would be great. But yeah, I just mentally check out for the day at some point. So.
All right, so you're done.
Yeah,
done.
I just check out. So, yeah. But anyway, sign up. That's a big one. She's got a lot of things planned. It's going to be big. So don't miss it. Yep. Okay, you put us on to, I mean, I actually did some serious reading here. Because you brought up the latest Inspirations magazine, number 107. And yes. Just a tip to everybody, if you're not getting Inspirations magazine, you're missing out. Just subscribe.
It's not just what I like about it is there are articles to read. There's lovely projects in here. There's no doubt. There's beautiful imagery in the ads. I always look at the ad. But the articles, the first few articles in the front, I always read them. I find them fascinating.
Yep.
And then this month, I'm not Hannah Lee Tott.
Tott. Yeah.
She's the one who did stitching on rubber tires. Now, it is definitely unusual. But how creative, how out of the box. I just, when I saw her work, I thought, what is she stitching on? And then I realized she's doing on rubber. Yep. On old rubber tires.
Yep. But her husband is a mechanic for a giant, like the big earth moving tractors and stuff. And so he brings home those giant inner tubes for her. And I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And she says, if you look at her stitches, it is basically a satin stitch or a straight stitch up and down. That's all she's doing.
Yeah, she doesn't pretend to be fancy at all, just straight up.
No. No, but it is definitely, I mean, it's eye-catching. It's well worth a look and a read and just how creative to stitch on rubber, you know, and when we talk about needlework being, is it art? To me, this is definitely doing art. It's doing, pushing it, making a statement saying, it's not art in this. It is art. It's something people would say, okay, that's saying something. You're making a statement about society, about life. I don't know. I just love it.
Yeah, no, it's art. I don't think there's any dispute. It's art. And so creative and just using just a straight stitch. I mean, she's clearly a master at it. I mean, she just, everything has dimension to it, has shading, color, and working off that black background really makes things pop, as you can imagine. But it's creativity. It's that art. And then, all right, what can I do that isn't doing it on a piece of linen? And and I can't imagine. All the time I'm reading this article, can you imagine sticking a needle in and out of rubber inner tubing?
Well, and it'll make a hole. If I've stitched on something called cloth paper, which is you take like muslin and you put paper on it and a fabric medium. Mm-hmm. And once you poke a hole in it, that hole is there. It doesn't disappear. You know how when you do linen, it kind of forms itself around it and disappears. No, when you make a hole, that hole is there and you can see it. You've got to fill the hole.
Yep.
So I'm sure rubber is the same way. It might have a little bounce in it, but I'm guessing not much.
Well, if nothing else, if it goes back, there's still going to be a slit or a mark of some kind. It's unavoidable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Right.
But it's the I mean, you hit it. That's what, when you said we got to talk about this, it's the creativity. It's going beyond the norm. And right. It was interesting to me that was she the one that moved around? Yeah, her family moved a lot. So she pretty much had to entertain herself. And I got to thinking about that when it comes to creativity and trying to think of different artists. And I wonder how, if we could get a majority of artists into a group where they're only children, moved a lot, so they didn't have a stable of friends that they could get together with every day. And so then they're, you know, all right, now I got to entertain myself. So
right.
It brings out that creativity that right. wouldn't.
And also I think sometimes I think it's that odd man out or the boredom factor. We live in a society that's that doesn't allow children to be bored.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are bored, you have to think outside the box and say, okay, so now what? What can I do now? I have no one's entertaining me. You know, what can I do? And I kind of wonder. I have some very creative friends, and one always asks, "Well, what if I do this? So what? It's never been done before. Let me try this. If I make a mistake, if it comes out wrong, so I chuck it. It goes into the discard pile, and I'll try again, or I'll come back later and add another layer. I'll cut it up and reuse it for something else. So I think that creativity, you have to be willing to be, say, the what if question, you know, being, can I use this material in a different way? Can I, yes, this society says this is the way it's supposed to be used, or the people who do normal needlework say this is the way it's only thing you're supposed to use. Let's try sewing on paper. Let's try sewing on rubber. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, see, and if you make the assumption that there's some aspect of loner to creative people, however it gets defined, however it
right.
manifests itself, there's some aspect of loner to it, then if you look at that, see, then those people don't have a peer group to influence their thinking, to say, ooh, that's ugly, or, oh, that's dumb. Right. You don't have that. Right. So then just what you described starts to be possible. Well, what if we do this? Mm-hmm. You know, there's nobody telling me I can't. There's nobody telling me that that's not normal. I don't know any right. different, so I go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I just wondered. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
and I'm sure there's 1,000 studies that would either support or destroy that thinking. But, you know, people who studied creative people, I'm sure they've been studied to death by psychologists. But I just wonder if that isn't the deal. Just not influenced. Don't know. Go for it. What do you got to lose?
Right. Yeah. Right. Or not, and not allowing other people to influence what you're doing,
right.
saying, like I sent you that article from Amina,
yes,
the Stitch Floral blog,
yes,
4 Things to Remember When Talent Intimidates You. She pointed out that, you know, and I have this problem. I have several friends, and their stitching is perfection. It is, every thread is straight. It's like perfectly. Their tension is right. They do exactly as the instructions say. And I've put my needlework up to theirs, and I'm like, mine does not measure up. And
yeah.
It can be very discouraging. But when you step back and you realize this is my needlework, it's going to be in my home, I'm going to be displaying it. It doesn't need to meet somebody else's brand of perfection. And there is no truly perfect. But if you just say, okay, this is mine, and then and do it to the best of your ability, you are going to improve. But if you never, if you say, well, I just can't, I can't do it to that level of perfection my first time out, then give up, then you're never going to get better.
Right.
And I think it's along the same lines. It's, you know, you've got to be willing to take that risk, saying, okay, I'm going to continue to work on this. Yeah, mine isn't perfect yet, but okay, this is my first try. I'll get better at it if I try again next time. I know what to do next time.
Yeah, for people who are interested, it's Amina, A-M-I-N-A, and it's the Stitch Floral blog. I'll put a link, but it's the Stitch Floral blog. But and the phrase she used that, to me, said it all was the phrase, fear of talent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what stopped me. Fear of talent, where you're just intimidated. And
right.
Her point is, don't be, you know.
And I think creative people don't allow that. They say, I'm not going to allow someone else to intimidate me. I'm going to find, it's called finding your own voice, or I'm going to find my own way of producing what I see in my head. And it's, you know, maybe the first time doesn't come out right, but it's the, not being afraid to fail. Not being afraid to try again. To make mistakes. I think that's creativity. Creative people tend to allow themselves to make mistakes, I think.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt, yeah. It's, but it's that, she talks about it, that it's, what does she call it? Practice, perseverance, and patience. And
right.
Where she really put it in perspective for me was when she says, I put this in the notes here because I didn't want to forget it. Don't confuse talent with mastery.
Mm-hmm.
Because she talked about talent, and she talked about it in terms of lighting a fire. And, you know, one person has a lighter, and another person has to basically use a flint and a stick.
Right.
Well, the person with the lighter has the talent, and the other person doesn't. But then when the fire gets going, it doesn't matter.
Right.
They both got there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's to really attain mastery in anything, but in needlework, you have to practice it. My kids always tease me. I do a lot of geometrics. I like doing them. I just like how they look. Maybe it goes with my math brain, but I think it's Kay Stannis's Spring Splendor, which is it was an EGA group correspondence course, and it was silk painting with gold work.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a horrible time with that class. And several times I threatened to stop doing it. I was helping lead the group correspondence course, so I was like, I really couldn't quit. I was leading it in the sense that they needed someone to say, okay, we're going to meet on X day, and we're going to get together and talk about this and go over whatever stitch. I was the wrong person because I had never done it before, but it was mainly because no one else would step forward and lead it.
Yeah.
But looking at that piece, I can see my mistakes. But I'm so glad I persevered in finishing it. My kids love that piece. They look at it and say, oh, you did a great job, Mom. They don't see the mistakes. They don't see that, you know, my shading is off or whatever.
Yeah.
But so next time I know what I need. I need a needle painting class.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned so much by just sticking with it, by just going through. And
yeah.
I think sometimes, you know, it's just a matter of practicing, of just, you know, keep plugging along on it. You know, my tension's not perfect, so I need to practice that. I need to be more conscious of working on that.
Right. No, it's this Amina really put it for me. That's probably one of the best pieces I've read about this aspect of it, which really isn't an aspect of stitching. It's an aspect of anything that you're trying to learn. Is that very thing and not being afraid of talent. See, because to me, here, you know, here's a parallel story that's happening to me right now. I mean, I ride a road bike, skinny tires, Lycra shorts, the whole bit. And I just love going out for 3 hours, 4 hours and just riding in the country. You know, I just, to me, there's nothing beats that. Well, I also have a mountain bike and I've owned it for 3 or 4 years and maybe put a couple hundred miles on a year, where road biking, you know, we talk about thousands of miles. And so this year I've decided that that bike sits in the garage and I pull it out every now and then. And every time I do, I have fun with it, but I don't have any skill, because there's skill in terms of riding single track with a mountain bike and going over hills and down slopes and around trees and those kinds of things. There's skill there. And when she said, you know, fear of talent, I watch people who can do that. And it's, you know, it's scary, quite frankly, because if you mess up, you run into a tree or you fall down a hill, you know?
Right. I was just thinking that. And I would run into a tree, but right. Go ahead.
And so this year I've decided that I'm going to, if I'm going to own that bike, I'm going to learn how to ride it. And my approach to learning everything is I don't go get a lesson. You know, I figure it out myself. So I have spent a lot of hours this summer. There's an excellent single track trail 3 miles from my house. And that's the other part. You know, I own this bike. There's this trail over there of all levels of challenge. Why am I not doing it? So I've been going over there more mornings than not and just trying to figure it out and watching videos, because that's these days, you know, that's how you learn. Seeing people do it and watching videos. And the other day I did not lift the bike and I ran into a big tree root and went right over the handlebars.
Ooh,
yeah, it was,
that's gotta hurt.
Yeah, it was, I did not enjoy that. And it was that slow motion thing, you know, where, you know, it's happening, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to hurt, but that so far, that's the only one. Now that I've talked about this, of course, I'll fall three more times. But, and the other day, I got into an area. I made a wrong turn, and I got into an area for skilled people, and I did what the Australian people call hike a bike, where my bike and I went for a long walk till I got to something I could ride. But I'm working at it, and then when I read this article, it really put things into perspective for me. You know, I'm picking away at it. Okay, now I've got one section where I can ride with pretty good confidence, and so now I'm trying another section, and I'm trying to figure out. All right, here's what I need to do. Here's the gears I need. Here's how I need, and then it comes back. You know, then you gave me that article about needlework, and I thought it's exactly the same thing. I'm going through that same process, and we go through it with needlework, and like you said, you know, for me the next one is goldwork. You know, I want to monkey with that. I got to learn that. And you work it out. And
it's doing a little bit of at a time. Like, you know, if you did a huge gold work piece, you'd probably be overwhelmed. The good thing about like the EGA correspondence courses, a lot of times they're broken up into sections. So you finish one section before you move into the next. So if you're in a group, and you can talk to other people about it. You can say, hey, I'm kind of having struggles with this section. Can you help me? But if you never take the chance, if you say, well, I'm just going to do cross stitch, and there's nothing wrong with just doing cross stitch. I love doing cross stitch. But let's say you want to grow. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to cut the wrong thread in hardanger. You're gonna drop all your pearl on the floor and have to find a way to pick that baby, that tray up of stuff. It's gonna happen. But you know, you're gonna, unless you do it, you're never gonna get better. You're never gonna learn the technique. And it's fun to learn new things. It works different parts of your brain, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I live for that. I really do. I live to learn new things. Why not? You know?
Right. And I think Krista West was talking a little bit about it too. When we talked to her on the live show, she was talking about creativity. And it, I think everyone is creative. Let's say you say, hey, I just like cross stitching. I like making little X's. Doing that works a part of your brain. I know it does. And it, you're going to find a way to be creative on how you finish it, how you decorate, put it up in your home. And even just the fact of doing it, I think, you know, it works part of your brain that's just different than if you just sat and watched TV and didn't do anything with your hand.
Yeah.
So,
Well, and it gets to that meditative thing that you brought up when we talked to Krista. That part of the brain and because it's also, you know, it's meditative and relaxing, but I also think that it releases the thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And your mind starts to go to work in a different way.
Right, right. All those, when my kids were little, I didn't have a whole lot of time to stitch. But I would say, okay, I need 15 minutes. 15 minutes to stitch.
Uh-huh.
And just that's all it took. It 15 minutes to just unwind, you know, put one thread in, make progress on a piece. It just relaxed me enough and gave me that creative outlet that, you know, when you're a mom with small children running around, you know, you don't have a whole lot of creativity going on.
Right.
You know, you're just
trying to survive.
Right. So, but doing that little bit made me feel creative again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's necessary, I think. So, you know, you need that outlet. We all need that outlet. And in our society is so tech driven. I think that's what's drawing people back to the handcrafts.
Yes.
The realization that you can make something. There's something, like Krista said, when you start moving that needle and thread, and you could hear the pop of the fabric, that sound it makes, and the swish of it, the thread through the fabric. There's something about that that is very calming in and of itself. And the touch and the feel in your hands of the fibers, there's something about it. It helps relax us, I think. And yeah. And then you have something when you're done. You know,
yep, exactly. Yeah.
Something to share with somebody, to show someone else. It brings a joy.
Yeah. And that happens with gardeners. I'm sure it happens with gardeners, you know, a couple hours out there just weeding and pruning and stuff. And your mind goes elsewhere. It happens with mm-hmm. a lot of these things. Would you describe yourself as creative? Like maybe the question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put yourself?
I think I'm creative. I don't think I'm a 10. I would think more of a 7, 8. I like to be, I like to think a little bit more outside the box. When I do things, I like doing traditional needlework, white work, the needlepoint hearts that Gayenne has out, whatever. I like doing those things. But there are times when I'm like, okay, I need to do something where I make it up all by myself. And I generally do that with surface embroidery or more art quilts, because then I can say, how am I going to make this look the way I see in my head? Using fabric and threads and beads, and maybe some paper and paint and dyes. Is there anything else I left out?
I don't think so. You got them all. You have that in your head. And I've heard that interviewing so many designers. I've heard that same description in one form or another. So you have that in your head where you see something and you start gathering the elements that are going to make that appear.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I've been working on an art quilt. Right now it's too hot to work on an art quilt. Cause it'll lay on top of me and I smother.
Yeah. That's a seasonal thing. Yeah.
Right. Right. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I see what's wrong. I need to do this. I need to pull these elements out and need to add something else. It needs a lot more work. Sometimes when you're up close with a project and you're looking at it too much, you're like, you can't see it. You have to put it away for a little while and come back to it. The very creative people I know will do that. They'll take a piece, they'll hang it on the wall, or they'll put it where they can see it. People who do needlepoint canvases, who do their own stitch guides for them, a lot of times that's what they'll do. They'll put their needlepoint canvas, they'll frame it up, and they'll put it somewhere where they'll see it, like where they're when they're doing the dishes, someplace where it's very prominent. And then so that way, every time they look at it, they'll say, okay, well, that spot looks like it needs maybe this stitch. Maybe I should use that fiber there. It's that creativity. You got to look at it a little bit. You got to be willing to play with it a little bit, be willing to rip things out. Sometimes people don't like doing that. And then try something new, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, and that's the other thing about creative people. You mentioned Gay Ann Rogers. I can't tell you how many times in talking with her, one of the primary stitching functions she has is tearing things out.
Right.
Because she talks about it as if it's as natural as putting it in. That just goes with the deal. I put it in, I don't like it. It comes back out. I put it in this way, I like it, and we move on. But for her, it's not a frustration. It's just, yeah, it didn't work. Out it comes. Try this. And there's the other, and you know, of course she's creative. I mean, we put her high on the list of creative. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Well, and she asks good questions. You know, I think that the what if question that's always there. What if I do this?
Mm-hmm.
I had this problem with my beloved piece. It's supposed to be reversible band sampler by Hands Across the Sea Designs.
Uh-huh.
I changed all the colors. I didn't like the colors. I changed it. And I'm down to the Montenegrin stitch. And I couldn't get it in. And I tried and I tried and I tried. And I finally put it away for a while. I was like, okay, I'm either going to – I got one flower motif in where I liked it, but it's wrong. And I finally decided I'm going to leave it because it's – I'm gonna rip a hole in the linen, and since I'm two-thirds of the way done,
don't do that.
The linen now would make me mad. So, but I have a whole other. I've got the rest of the sampler is Montenegrin stitch, so I've got to learn them.
Yeah.
But reading this article reminded me, I've never done this stitch before. I've never encountered it before, so it's a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be perfect. That's okay.
Yeah.
I can move on.
Yep.
I think it's time to say, okay, just keep moving on this piece. Don't give up.
Yeah. I assume you have the book.
Yes. Amy Mittens. Yes.
Okay. All right. Just making sure you have the right tools. So, but, yes, I went through. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I really think I'm an advanced enough needleworker that I could follow a chart and follow. My brain was not tracking, and I'm just like, okay, this is done. This section's done. I'm going to move on.
Yep. Well, that was, you know, that's something I've been working on, is that leave it alone thing. Because last night when I was weaving the Scotch stitches with that Krynek, And I'm using a needle and to hold things up. I'm trying everything I can to get it in. And a couple of times I snagged a thread in the double fan double and pulled it up. And the one time I pulled it up, the switch in my head went, all right, this has got to come out. You got to redo the whole thing. And I said, no, I am not going to do this. I am not going to tear out that double fan double because other than that one little snagged fiber, this thing is exactly how I want it. And I had to fight with myself. And finally I said, no, figure out how to get that snagged thread underneath something so it goes away. Mm-hmm. You know, stroke it, move it, whatever. but make it go away because we are not doing that double fan doubled again. It's everything else about it is just the way I want it. And I did. And there were a couple times where, oh, I really should go back and take that out because, no, I'm leaving it. And I've been really working on that because normally I would have. I would have just taken a scissors, cut that all out, and redid it. But I gotta train myself to not do that. So I hit it, and no one will know.
There's times to take things out. There's times when you look at it again and again, you're like, it's got to come out. And I've had that.
Yeah.
But there's times when you're just like, you know, no one sees this. No one can see it. No one can see it.
Right.
I need to leave it alone.
Yep. And that's where this one's at. No one can see it. And the fact that I talked about it is the only reason anybody even knows it existed. I made it go away.
Right.
It took me a minute, but I got it to go away. And and it's staying. I'm not pulling that out.
But it's hard for you.
It's hard for me because that's normally what I would have done. I would have taken the big scissors out. I would have cut that double fan doubled out, pulled it all out, and redid it and not given it a second thought. But now you can't keep doing that. I got to move on,
And,
and I think there are some projects that I have that have never been finished. And what's preventing that is that my inherent quest to have it perfect. And it just wasn't. And I just set it aside till I was in a better mood. And then that set aside just became a long length of time because I just got, for me, it was ruined. And to fix it was going to take a lot of work. And I just set it aside and moved on to something else. And so I've been really working on that aspect of me because I need to lighten up. So.
Well, and that's why with the My Beloved piece, that's what was going to happen with this. Mm-hmm. I was either going to rip that out and end the sampler at that point, which I didn't want to do because I loved the rest of the sampler.
Yep.
Or it was going to languish in the basement until Kingdom Come and it wasn't going to get done. And I'm like, no, I need to finish this. This needs to get done. I love it too much. I've spent too much time on it. I've enjoyed it. I think it's a beautiful sampler. I want it done. I don't want it to live. Things that have been rejected live in my basement. So no. I say, I don't want it to go there. I want to finish this piece. I want to finish it.
Thanks. So your kids, your dog. It's a full basement, folks.
It's a full basement.
Yeah. No, but that's, I got to work on that. And Amina, she makes a good point about perfect. Nobody's work is perfect. And I just, it's hard for me. Yep.
And here's the deal, Gary. I had planned. I know someone challenged you to put your pieces, to show your pieces, to have them judged.
Yes.
And I don't know if you decided to do that or not. Not that it's moot this year because nothing's happening.
Right.
But I had kind of thought, okay, I'm going to take a step out and I'm going to show My Beloved. I'm going to try to get it done. And show up maybe at the local fair or whatever. Well, no fair this year, but maybe I'm still think I'm going to, even though I know it's not perfect, even though there are definite mistakes in the sampler. I think I'm going to still try to show it because mm-hmm. I think it's beautiful. And I think people need to see, two other things besides cross stitch.
Yeah.
And this sampler does show a lot of different, patterns. And getting over this idea, well, mine isn't perfect, so I'm not going to show it to anybody, which is my problem because mine will never be perfect. I see mine and I see all my mistakes and I'm like, oh, mine isn't good enough, so I'm not going to show it. It's not good enough to be judged. I see my mistakes. Any judge is going to see them, so I won't show it.
Now, see, I don't have that problem. I don't mind showing. Even though the imperfections are there and they drive me nuts, I don't mind showing. To have it judged, my thought on that is I already know where the flaws are at. I don't need somebody else to tell me. I know where they're at, every one of them, every single one of them. I can point every one of them out,
Right.
You know, this one isn't just, the tension isn't just quite right. And this one, I probably should have gone this direction instead of the other. You know, I know those things.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But I don't mind showing, you know, if I have something done, it's finished, you know, enjoy it, look at it. If you like it, fine. If you don't, fine, you know, whatever. Because it's always, you know, I say this, well, I said this to somebody else the other day, my handbell ringers, you know, before a concert or a performance or something, you know, I'm nervous. I just look at them and say, doesn't anybody in the crowd can do what you do? What are you nervous about? You know, like Montenegrin Stitch, show that to a group of people. There might be two people in there even know what it is, let alone know how to do it. So whatever does it make, show it. Then let them enjoy the, beauty of what you've created, right or wrong. You know, and if somebody wants to pull out the book and see if you did it over this way instead of this way, then smack them, you know, just, they need a life.
Right.
But.
And I think too, it's the idea of showing it in a place where it will be judged, where a state, a fair sort of idea or something. And I think that makes me nervous because I do see my imperfections. And I think, but when I go to look at needlework in a show, I don't go looking for other people's mistakes.
No.
That's not what I go and look at. I go look at their designs. I look at how they use color, the way they frame the piece or display the piece. Those are all things that I look at when I look at needlework at a show. So why am I so afraid to show mine? I don't have a clue.
And that's a good point because I do that same thing. I don't look for if I see someone else's needlework, I just look at the beauty of it. Yeah. Oh, look what you created here. This is terrific. I don't look for the flaws. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But then in your own pieces,
And it's that perfectionism that we've got in us.
Yeah.
Gotta get over it a little bit. Get over it.
Yeah. That's just it. Yeah. I know personally, I gotta lighten up. I really do. Yep. All right. We're gonna call it right there, I think.
All right.
Okay. So tonight, Beth and I are going to stitch. I'll be working on the Royal Garden, making crescents. Beth, do you need?
I'm going to try to get that center in.
Okay. All right. So we'll be doing Royal Garden. So if you have questions about Double Fan Double, there you go. We can help you.
Right. That's right.
Yep. Friday night is Melanie Smith. Sunday is James Farmer of the Angel Quilt Project. And August 5 now, write it down, 8 o'clock Eastern, we're going to have a tour of the exhibit in Australia, Remembering Recamo, Italian Needlework. Going to have a live tour of that. So mark that down so you don't miss that. All right. That was fun, Beth. All right. Thanks.